God, the beneficent, the merciful, the creator and the sustainer of the universe, peace and blessings upon his servant and messenger Muhammad forever. Amen. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except the one true God, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger and servant. I greet you with our usual greeting, the universal greetings of peace, a greeting that has been used by all of the prophets from Abraham through to Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon them all. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be unto you. I'm your host, Hamid Rashid. Today we have our 25th program in our series on moral teachings of Islam. We'll be talking about humbleness and dignity. I have joining me, as usual, on the program, Dr. Jamal Badawi of St. Mary's University. Brother Jamal, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
First of all, can you perhaps explain the meaning of the term humbleness as interpreted by Muslims? And perhaps could you give us a few references from the Quran which speak on this the topic of humbleness?
Certainly. Well, humbleness can be divided in one particular division into two basic categories. One is humbleness before God. The other relate to humbleness with the creatures of God, with other people. Now, the first one, or humbleness with God, implies faith in God and submission to his will. So you don't feel haughty when God commands certain things. You follow what he ordained. The other one, or humbleness with people, is the one that usually you find defined in dictionaries as the quality of being humble, of being unassuming person, modest, the lack of pride, boastfulness, or excessive self-assertiveness, which I think reflects pretty well also the view of Islam of pride with people. In accordance with the Quran, the Word of God, the only foundation or basis for varying degrees of honor among people is their piety. For example, in chapter 49, verse 13, it says, O mankind, we created you male and female, and we made you into nations and tribes so that you may get to know one another. And then it says, Lo, the most honored of you in the sight of God is the most pious of you, the most God-conscious among you. And since piety and God-consciousness is something which is internal, only God knows for sure whether a person is pious or pretending to be pious. Mm-hmm. It follows then that one should follow or observe modesty and humbleness as one of the basic traits of a believer. Mm-hmm. Indeed, in the Quran, we find description of the type of people who are loved most by God and who themselves also love God. يحبهم ويحبون. For example, in chapter 5, verse 54, it says that God would bring people whom he loves and who love him, and then one of the description given to them is that they are humble and lowly with the believer, even though they might be stern and strong against rejectors. So this is one trait, again, the Quran emphasizes. In instructing Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the Quran addresses him, وَخْفِدْ جَنَاحَكَ لِمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Literally means, lower, O Muhammad, lower your wing to the believers who follow you. And this is a beautiful, tender expression, because just like a bird lower its wings in kindness and protection or humbleness to protect its offsprings, so was the message of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, presented in the Quran. Not only this, we find the instruction in the Quran goes beyond the Prophet to all believers also. asking us not to try and justify ourselves, not to overpraise ourselves. For example, in chapter 53, verse 32, says, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Do not try to justify yourself or praise yourself. God knows who is good from who is bad. And I think, Brother Hamid, that this particular point is at the heart of many of the malaise that we find in today's civilization. That people do not try to be themselves. They want always to have different masks, to appear different from their reality. You spend a lot of effort to be not yourself, whereas you can spend one-tenth of that effort just to be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Be humble and have this sense of simplicity in your attitudes and relationship with other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, so far we've discussed references to the subject of humility from the point of view of what it said in the Quran. Are there sayings as well of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, which are instructive in this area regarding humility?
There are several, but maybe you can choose a few mm-hmm. just to give the sense or the feel of it. And according to the collection of prophetic sayings in Muslim, Sahih Muslim, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, God revealed to me that you should be humble so that no person should be boastful or should boast over another person, and so that no person would commit an act of aggression against another person. In the same collection also, another hadith, very frequently quoted one, مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزَّةٍ وَمَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفْعٌ, which means, no property or no money really would diminish because of paying charity. In other words, there would be blessing to compensate for what you sacrifice mm-hmm. of your property for charity. And that no person forgives another person except that God would increase him in dignity and status. And then the third one that relates to humbleness, it says that no person who tries to practice this attitude of humility except that God would raise him in degrees. In a similar hadith, which is called Hadith Qudsi, which means the Prophet is narrating, but not in the form of the Quran, in a form of hadith, that God said that I accept prayer only from those who humble themselves before my glory, those who spent the day remembering me, those who did not treat my creatures in a haughty and snobbish way, and those who never slept a night insisting on disobeying me. As far as the attitude of the Prophet, peace be upon him, aside from his saying, or in addition to what he said, his personal life was exemplary of this humbleness. You can write books on that, but maybe just give a glimpse of this behavior. His wife, Aisha, was once asked, what is the Prophet like in his own household? She said, well, he would be serving or helping his family, doing work even, and when the time of prayer comes, he just leaves and go to the prayers and say, oh, I am the great prophet, everybody should serve me, and just run after me. He just lived a very simple life. In another occasion, she was asked a similar question. She said, he's just like any of you. He sometimes goes and milk his own goat, repair his shoes, or mend his clothing. In the collection of Bukhari, it was also mentioned that at times, when a little girl, just a small girl, comes to play with the Prophet, hold his hand, and she said she can just take him by hand in whatever street of Medina she wishes, and he would not object, just go play with her, and doesn't really show any snobbishness that how come he's spending his time with just a little girl playing. One time when he was traveling with some of his companions, they started preparing food. So some people said, I'll do this, I'll do that. So Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, and I'll take charge of collecting and cutting the wood. So they said, we can do that for you. He said, yes, I know you can do it for me, but I hate to sit there and feel distinguished or feel some distinction over you. This is the attitude of humility and humbleness and sharing with people whatever they are doing. And whenever he came to a place where people are sitting, he didn't just rush himself to put himself in the forefront. He just sat wherever the place is available to him. And this attitude, by the way, is not something that was only in times of weakness or the time when Muslims were few, but even in some of the most glorious moments, like when he re-entered Mecca after he was driven away and his companions, victorious. He didn't go like some people plundering and, you know, showing pride or others. He was lowering his forehead on his camel, making a prostration of humility and thanksgiving to God that he gave victory finally to the believers. Like I said, these are only you know, glimpses of what the prophetic tradition, by way of sayings and actions, show on importance of humility.
Okay. Well, in our previous programs in this series dealing with moral virtues, we've looked at the opposite side of the coin.
Contrast.
And sort of contrasted the situation in the case of our topic today, or in the case of humility. What does Islam say about pride?
Well, there are lots of things also mentioned about pride as a moral vice. Indeed, it's presented as a serious psychological disease that the Quran warns us against. To start with, the Quran indicates, and this you find particularly in chapter 7, verse 12 on, that when God created the first human being on earth, he asked the angels to bow down in prostration or in respect to the first human being created. Satan was there also. He was not an angel, but he was there, and he refused to bow down. He says, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن تِينٍ. He says, how come you ask me to bow down to him? I am better than he. You created me from fire and he from clay. So there is different species. So he felt too great to bow down to such a creature made of clay. So the Quran indicates then that this was the reason why actually Satan was ousted out of paradise. تخرج منها فما يكون لك أن تتكبر فيها. Get out of it. God told him, it is not appropriate for you to be haughty in it. So that's a behavior that resulted in serious consequence for him and for those who follow him. Second aspect of it is that the Quran presented also as an act which is most hated by God, just like we mentioned before that humility is mentioned as an act which is loved by God. The opposite also is true. You find in the Quran frequently an expression like "Inna Allah la yuhibbu al-mustakbirin," "Innahu la yuhibbu al-mustakbirin." For example, in chapter 16, verse 23, "Indeed, God does not love those who are arrogant or boastful or snobbish, if you will." In addition, you find that there are several stories in the Quran that shows the consequences of arrogance and haughtiness. It mentioned it in context of talking about the Pharaoh and the tyranny of the Pharaohs. For example, in chapter 43, verse 51 on, that the Pharaoh said, don't you people see the domain of Egypt is all mine? Don't you see the rivers flowing underneath my palaces? And then he started downgrading Prophet Moses, peace be upon him. He said, am I not better than this fellow who cannot express himself clearly even? This kind of attitude, as we know, resulted in the drowning of the Pharaoh and his soldiers. In a similar story also in the Quran, in chapter 28, it talks about Qarun. Some believe that this was the same as Korah, which appeared, whose story appeared in chapter 16 of the book of Numbers, a contemporary of Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, who was so rich, so arrogant. People taught him that you should have moderation and remember God, and he said, no, I got that because of my knowledge and my smartness. And the Quran, according to the story in the Quran also, his punishment was that God ordered the earth to swallow him up along with his house and his property. There are similar stories in chapter 18 in the Quran, for example, about the people of the garden, all showing that these have taken different forms of arrogance, and they all were common in a sense of the severe punishment that befell those people. But aside even from the punishment which may come in this world as a result of boastfulness and arrogance, The Quran also talks about kibr or istikbar or pride mm-hmm. as something that would result also in the punishment in the hereafter. For example, people who would be destined to the hellfire will be told, according to chapter 16, فَبِئْسَ مَثْوَى الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. Evil indeed is the abode of those who are boastful and arrogant. In chapter 7, there are similar statements also that your money or whatever you collected did not really help you in this day because of your pride. That's as far as what the Quran says about it. But to complete the picture, you can give also a glimpse, if you may, to some of the saying of the Prophet, peace be upon him, mm-hmm. and this. In the collection of Ahmad, he says that whoever had an atom's weight in his heart of pride, he will be thrown or be fell on his face in the hellfire. In another hadith narrated in Al-Bayhaqi, it's a beautiful one, it says there are three things which are redeemer, things that save the person, and three things which cause the destruction of the person. Mm-hmm. As to the three that are redeemers, it includes to be God conscious in secret and in public, two, to say the truth whether you are angry or whether you're in a normal state, and three, to have moderation whether you are rich or poor. As to the three things which are destroyers or evil, one is to follow your own whims, secondly is stinginess, and then notice the third one, إعجاب المرء بنفسه وهي أشدهن. That is, if a person so much admires or self-admiration or so much proud of himself, and which is the worst. So that was considered as one of the worst traits of the person, pride.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, looking into the realm of our day-to-day activities, what are some of the common manifestations of pride?
You mean how people express that, or could
yes.
it be detected?
Yes, how could we detect
it? Well, it takes a variety of form, but perhaps I should start with the most dangerous one, the most serious form of pride. Obviously, that would be rejection of truth after truth has been manifest, because that's pride also. If a person is not accepting truth because he doesn't understand or doesn't know that this is the truth, well, he might have some excuse. But after the person realizes in his own heart that this is the truth and keep making, vain arguments against it, then this is regarded as pride. Indeed, in the Quran, for example, in chapter 37, verse 35, it describes the unbelievers saying, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. These people were that if it was told to them or said to them, there is no God but God, the one God or one true God, they are puffed up with pride. So this is one of the most difficult type of prides to try to overcome. Pride can be manifested also in the treatment, the way a person relate and deal with other people. If a person deals with people in contempt, in a haughty and snobbish way, that's also a reflection of pride. For example, in the Quran, in chapter 31, verse 18, quoting Luqman, who was a wise, holy person, advising his son, he was telling his son, وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. Don't you swell your cheek at people, talking to them as if you're up there and everybody else is, down on the earth. In another moving verse also, in chapter 17, verse 37, it addresses mankind in general. وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضَ وَلَنْ تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ طُولًا, which means, don't walk on earth in insolence and arrogance, because after all, you cannot rend the earth asunder. You can't make a hole in the earth, no matter how strong you walk on it, nor are you going to reach the mountains in height. So everybody should know his position and place in this universe without overemphasis or under emphasis. It may take also the form of the way, rather than person walks, the way the person dresses. You might recall in a previous program on Islamic code of dress, we quoted the Prophet, peace be upon him, as narrated both in Bukhari and Muslim, that says God will not look at a person who draws his garment behind him in pride, you know, when you get a big dress and just walk in insolence or snobbish way. These are all different forms which reflect some psychological weakness, that people, instead of trying to be good from within, some people having that weakness try to compensate for it by being snobbish and arrogant in the treatment of other people.
I'd like to go back to the last point that you touched on in your answer relating to the question of vanity in dress. Does this mean in any way that there's any restriction in Islam on dressing nicely or neatly, or for that matter, generally, any restriction on dressing nicely?
No, not at all. Not at all. In fact, I'm glad that you put this point, because, in fact, a similar question was asked to the Prophet, peace be upon him. He was sitting with his companions. And then he told them, nobody will enter paradise who have a mustard seed weight in his heart of pride. So one of the people sitting there, he said, O messenger of God, you know that a person would like to have a nice garment or nice clothes, and every person loves to have a nice shoe. Is that the pride you're talking about? Mm-hmm. That means kind of question that he wants to ask. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, no. He said, pride, first of all, he said, God is beautiful and he loves beauty, or graceful and he likes grace, or loves grace. But he said, real pride is to reject truth and to belittle other people. Mm-hmm. Reject the truth and be haughty in your treatment of other people. So there's no problem. The issue is not really what to dress, whether it's nicely designed, good color, good, clean, and all that. There's no difficulty with this, so long as it fits within the code of dress as provided in Islamic law. It should be not only it can be graceful, it should be graceful, but this is not with the intention really of show off, just enjoying legitimate things that God has provided.
Now, we mentioned that our program, the title of our program for today was Humility and Dignity. I'd like to ask you if you could perhaps explain the meaning of dignity and how the dignity differs from this question of pride that we've just been talking about.
Okay, I bet some people might have been wondering a bit about the title, mm-hmm. Humbleness and Dignity. Sometimes people may get the impression that when you talk about dignity and honor, that somehow a question is raised as to whether it's different or is it different from pride. Well, the Arabic word for dignity, the one that I'm referring to really, is izza. Mm-hmm. When it's translated into English, it's the closest thing would be something like honor, dignity. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about dignity in that sense, or izza in the Islamic usage of the terminology, it refers to dignity which is derived not just from personal ego, but dignity which is derived from faith in God. In other words, your dignity is derived dignity, mm-hmm. because of what God has bestowed on you by way of belief in Him, knowledge of Him, and faith in Him. Whereas pride, in the sense we were describing, refers to an attitude that you feel that you're better than others, others are lower than you are, so you treat them with some degree of contempt. Now, the kind of dignity or pride, if you will, like I said, in English there is no exact equivalent for the Arabic term, but pride in the positive sense, in a sense of dignity and honor derived from faith, is not only permissible, it is even required, it's encouraged. Mm-hmm. To give you documentation, for example, in the Quran, in chapter 63, in verse 8, it says, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The real or true honor and dignity belong to God, to His messenger, and to the believers. To say that believers deserve more dignity than those who reject God and are ungrateful for what He has provided for them. So when you feel grateful that God has guided you to know Him, to obey Him, and helped you to follow the straight path, to be proud of that in the positive sense is not really egotistic. It's not something that relates to yourself, but you're really doing that in humility and saying, you know, thanks for blessing me with this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the same thing, really.
Well, now, looking at the practical side of this discussion of moral virtues with particular reference to this question of dignity, how can a person achieve dignity? Are there specific acts that one should involve oneself in, or specific acts that one should perhaps try to eliminate or not get involved in?
Okay. Well, since we said before that real dignity in the Islamic sense is a derived dignity, derived from faith in God and obedience to Him, it follows then that one can maintain and nourish this dignity by maintaining his obedience to God, to follow the path that He's provided for us, and to really avoid an act which displeases God. Because the loss of dignity is not loss of money or status. The loss of dignity is the loss of faith. That is why in chapter 35, for example, verse 10 in the Quran, it says, "Man kana yuridu al-izzata, falillahi al-izzatu jami'a." Whoever is really seeking dignity and honor, unto God belong all honor and dignity. So it's derived from that. So you can, by pleasing God, by following His path, not only do you benefit personally in your own life to have a wholesome life that has meaning, that has purpose, but you also achieve the true dignity, regardless of how poor or rich you may be. The other aspect also in the achievement of this dignity is not to be over worried about the material things that people normally use to assess people's dignity. For most people, when you say dignity and honor, say, oh, somebody who's rich, somebody who's big, strong, in high position. And to give you a practical example of what happened during the lifetime of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, to reflect his teaching. One time he was sitting with a few people, and then a person passed by. So he said, asked one of the people sitting, what do you think of him? He said, oh, he's one of the most rich and honored people here. If that person goes to any family to ask the hand of their daughter, they would marry her gladly to him. If he goes to intercede on behalf of anyone, his intercession would be accepted. So the Prophet kept silent. He didn't comment. And then after a while, another person passed by. So he asked that fellow, what do you think of that fellow? He said, well, he's one of those poor, wretched people. If that person goes to any family to ask to marry their daughter or something, they would probably not marry her to him. If he intercedes on behalf of someone, nobody would listen to him. And if he says anything, people would not pay much attention mm-hmm. to what he says. So the Prophet then intervened and said, listen, this poor person is better than an earth full of the other fellow, mm-hmm. no matter how rich or powerful he may be. That means a person could be very simple, very poor, but in the eyes of God, he could be much greater than a bunch of other people who are more arrogant or more insolent. It follows then that the true dignity, when it's derived from God, it means that you should be submissive to God, you submit to the will of God, but you should also resist human tyranny. That's also part of the dignity of the believer. In the Quran, for example, in chapter 4, it talks about people who would be asked or questioned in the Day of Judgment, why didn't you resist tyranny? They would say, we were weak, and said, and respond to them, why didn't you try to do something about it? Even leave and go to some other place where you can practice your freedom. And finally, one should also keep in mind that God alone controls our destiny, and may appear to us that a boss can tell us what to do or can determine our raises or this or that, but after all, we should believe that God alone is the one who controlled the universe. Try our best to do an excellent job so that we don't be in a situation of humiliation.
Fine. Well, we want to thank you for watching our program today. Invite you back next week when we'll continue with our next program in the series on moral teachings. Thank you for watching. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
Allah.